Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
We're taking a quick look back at 2020 today as BNA releases their final numbers for the year.
We'll also take a look back to find out how much monetary damage all of the severe weather events did from that year.
Plus, what exhibits will be inside of Nashville's newest museum.
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily. So what exhibits are exactly in the newest museum in Nashville, the National Museum of African American Music, or NAMAM for short, if you want to get hip with the terminology on that. We'll be talking about that later. But we have to take a look back into 2020 because there have been some new numbers released pretty much across the board to look at 2020 and its impact on a few different things. First, we're going to be talking about the airport, because while the airport has continued to talk about how much it's gone down, they've released some numbers that are pretty telling, especially in the pattern that we saw for January, February, and then what followed afterwards, to see how much traffic they lost during the pandemic.
Yeah, so according to the Nashville Business Journal, BNA passengers numbers from 2020 began with the busiest January and February on record.
They were almost in the news as much as Amazon was for that.
It was fantastic, but quickly dropped as the economy slowed and air travel plummeted in mid-March and throughout April, according to the news release.
So for the year, BNA noted that 8,284,570 passengers moved in and out of the airport, which is down to 54.7% from 2019, when the airport set its seventh consecutive year of record-breaking growth with 18,273,434. Imagine setting a budget for almost 20 million people coming in and out of your airport, and you have less than 10.
Man.
That sounds terrible.
Thankfully, the BNA vision wasn't affected by this because they already had that budget and money set aside.
Yeah.
However, passenger travel has steadily increased throughout the year, going from 62,000 total passengers in April to over 729,000 in December.
Along with the pandemic, this is a little update on the other airport in Nashville, John C. Toon, BNA's reliever airport in West Nashville. They also host a lot of the news helicopters and private planes and hangars and stuff like that. It was devastated by the March 3rd tornado, with more than 90 aircraft, 17 hangars, and other airport infrastructure destroyed in the storm.
Wow.
So it makes you wonder, like, what is happening with John C. Toon? Like, that's a lot to get destroyed. But they are doing an ambitious transformation at John C. Toon, with construction starting on a new air traffic control tower, along with the approval of a major overhaul development plan. While the pandemic slowed air travel, like you said earlier, BNA Vision, which is the Nashville's big airport over in kind of the Donelson Hermitage area, they have this big plan called BNA Vision to rebuild and add on to the existing airport, the $1.4 billion expansion and renovation program designed to meet the region's project air travel demand in the years ahead is still going, and it is still going strong. They're posting updates on their Instagram all the time. And, you know, since we're pretty close to there, we can actually see new things being added and the construction happening all the time there.
Oh, you could literally be driving in parts of Donelson Pike and you're like, oh, there's a new crane over at the airport. I wonder what they're building.
It's really cool to see the cranes from a far distance, especially on I-40.
Yeah, on the interstate, you're cool. That looks really cool. So the Nashville Business Journal also says this past year also saw the release of BNA's updated economic impact study that analyzes the airport's regional effects for 2019, which exceeded $8 billion, a 14% increase over 2018. Oh, so that was in 2019. We had an $8 billion increase, which is incredible, an increase of 131% since 2012.
So even though 2020, they saw a downtick in traffic, they had a few good milestones through the year. They opened Concourse D, which is a new concourse, adding 6 gates.
Which is gorgeous.
It looks so good.
The natural light in that concourse is fantastic.
They've opened expanded ticket wings, each one with a new security checkpoint, opened a second state-of-the-art terminal garage, and improved the valet center, announced a Hilton brand on airport hotel scheduled to open in late 2023, began full reconstruction of 1 of 4 runways per FAA standards.
Which was, I don't know if you passed that during that time, but they had this huge pile of concrete that was at least 800 feet tall.
The only reason I saw that is because I was headed to West Coast Taco.
West Coast Taco.
They've continued progress on the terminal lobby and international arrivals facility, which that seems like it's taken a long time. That's why it says continued progress, because they are not done yet. The awarded contract for terminal access roadways, major improvement project. They launched an updated website, flynashville.com, and they've launched a B&A shop, which offers B&A branded merchandise. I think that probably includes the B&A socks, the carpet. I wonder if those like front door mats are still available.
They have those. You can get some t-shirts.
And then they also announced a 31 new airline routes. So still a lot of stuff going strong there. I don't think this will be the pandemic. Yes, it probably slowed down some things, but they're not done in the least bit. So another report coming from News Channel 5 is reporting on that. It's coming from NOAA, which is where you get your most accurate information for weather. Also, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
It's a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister. Some numbers have come out from there reporting that severe climate events have caused nearly, this is hard to say, $4 billion in damage across Tennessee in 2020.
Yeah, and then the March 2020 tornadoes, which did $2.5 billion of damage.
Wow.
Wow. And that made one of $22 billion disasters in 2020 throughout the United States.
Dang.
That's crazy. And then there's also the derecho, that huge windstorm that came through Middle Tennessee. And there was that really big tornado down in Chattanooga.
Yeah. So the $4 billion in damage was the second highest total for Tennessee since NOAA started keeping track of data in 1980. The only year with a higher total, it says, was 2011, but this is across Tennessee. So, I mean, we had the flood in 2010, which maybe they're referring to, or maybe there was something in 2011 across Tennessee statewide that may have done more. But I think the flood probably was an extremely significant event that would have made one of those lists.
The rest of the article just talks about how the state of Tennessee is a very vulnerable state. We can have all types of weather, from earthquakes, which we have not experienced recently. It's been like 170
years
since
the New Madrid went off. Yeah,
we can experience blizzards over in East Tennessee. We can experience tornadoes, and we could even experience very large windstorms that come every 30 years.
Yeah, no volcanoes, thankfully.
Not yet. They haven't found the volcano yet.
Or tsunamis.
That one's very hard to pull off.
All right. Things that are not hard to pull off. Going and eating local Nashville food. A really cool thing about Stuart and I being in downtown on Monday and checking out the ribbon cutting for the for NAMM was that we got to visit one of our favorite spots that we don't get to check out very often, and that's Rise, some of the best chicken biscuits here in town. So I was very glad we got to go back there and visit Spencer. He has a podcast episode. We interviewed him about his journey into Nashville. You can find that in the show notes to listen to that interview, because it's a really, really good one. Very cool conversation that we had with Spencer.
That had to be like over a year ago.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, but Rise, if you've never been, if you want chicken biscuits in downtown Nashville, because Chick-fil-A is not in downtown Nashville. The farthest thing is past the interstate out on, I believe, Church Street.
There's the one in the Snodgrass building. But who's going to go into a government building to go get Chick-fil-A?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, this is where you want to go if you want either some good desserts, some good chicken biscuits, some good even vegan breakfast. They have a really good options for that. And so this is where you want to go for some good fast food in the downtown Nashville area. So check out Rise. And we'll also link that episode with Spencer, who runs the operation there, and you can check out that interview. So let's head over to Explore's Nashville Tip of the Day.
For Explorer's Nashville Tip of the Day, it's a great day to head to Franklin, Tennessee, explore some of the great Civil War sites like the Carter House or Carnton Plantation, and then go grab lunch at this very unique restaurant. It's called Buggernut Pig. It's in a basement.
Is it barbecue?
Yeah. You know, they serve like barbecue and type like slider type stuff. It's been a few years since I've had it, but I remember their burgers and I'm like, I'm craving one of their burgers.
So oh, nice.
Go down there. It's in this basement. It's right next to the Lotz house or the Carter house, like across the street from the Carter house.
Oh, okay.
It's in the basement. Like you're like, why am I going into where the basement for this restaurant? But it feels like a pub type atmosphere.
So
they have a lot of live music, but they also have great burgers and they have these really great sliders. And if I remember correctly, their sweet potato fries are delicious.
There you go. There's a new place for you guys to check out in Franklin, Tennessee. That is Explorer's Nashville Tip of the Day.
Today's episode of Nashville Daily is brought to you by Screen Threads. If you're looking for Nashville merchandise, look no further. Our listeners can use the code Nashville Daily, get 10% off their next online order and in-person visit. You can find them inside of Marathon Village or head to screenthreads.com.
All right, so some exhibits for the National Museum of African American Music, or NAMAM for short, just as we're doing these abbreviations that you don't get confused of what we're talking about. NAMAM stands for the National Museum of African American Music. I really like how they've broken down their exhibits, and to my knowledge, these are the permanent exhibits that are going to be a part of this. I'm sure there are going to be other events. There are going to be probably some semi-permanent or some traveling exhibits that are going to be featured here. But let's get to know some of the permanent installations here at NAMAM. And I want to start with the Roots Theater because this place looks absolutely incredible based on the pictures that we see here on the website. But the Roots Theater, you know, it's a journey where you'll probably be able to get an overview. They'll play some videos that show history. Also, what I'm really excited for are opportunities to go see live music here. And I'm really hoping it doesn't. It says the theater will be used for film screenings, lectures, and music performances, and concerts. So, I mean, that's going to be a very hop in place. Also, a little bit about the films they're going to be showing. There's an introductory film presentation that will give an overview of West and Central African cultures and the institution of slavery. The presentation focuses on the evolution of becoming African American, with specific emphasis on the creation of a new music tradition, spirituals, blues, jazz, gospel, R&B, and hip hop that are distinctly African American in nature. The film presentation will also emphasize historical periods such as Reconstruction, Jim Crow, the Great Migration, World Wars I and II, and the Harlem Renaissance, etc., and the impact they've had on the development of these musical styles. So that's what's going to be happening in the Roots Theater.
So the next exhibit is going to be Rivers of Rhythm Pathways, the Evolution of African American Music Traditions. The Rivers of Rhythm Corridor is a central spine of the museum experience and features touch panel interactives and animated timeline that links American history and American music history. Museum visitors will experience the early beginnings of American music with Southern religious and blues traditions to the most contemporary R&B and hip-hop musical forms. The corridor also features periodic immersive film experiences that place the visitor in the midst of iconic music moments.
So this is more like a hallway that would represent more of a timeline. They've got those same tables that we're seeing at the Tennessee Museum that probably are more interactive. So I'm looking forward to experience those. They have a few. One of the galleries that they have is called Wade in the Water. So this is more where you'll walk into a room and see all the things associated with this gallery. So Wade in the Water is talking about the history, the influence, and survival of religious music. So this gallery will document the history and influence of religious music from indigenous African music that survived during slavery to the formation of African American spirituals and hymns to the golden age of gospel in the 1940s to the 1960s and its commercial growth. Exploration includes the influence of gospel vocal groups on secular singing in doo-wop, R&B, and soul music, as well as the impact that religious music had throughout the 20th century and into the new millennium.
All right, the next exhibit is Crossroads, How Blues Changed the Music World. The Crossroads Gallery chronicles the history and influence of the blues, whose humble origins are rooted in the work songs and field hollers sung by sharecroppers and labor mill workers throughout the post-slavery period in the Deep South and the Mississippi Delta in the 19th century. As African Americans migrated from rural South to urban cities in the North, they took the blues and other musical and cultural traditions with them. Museum visitors will encounter female blues singers who recorded race records in the 1920s, the influence of blues on white country music, and rock and roll sound of the 1950s. The narrative ends with a further look into the contemporary blues and modern masters, many of whom are part of the Great Migration.
I think the blues might be my favorite gallery, even though we haven't visited yet, but that's probably going to be my favorite. Another gallery of theirs is called A Love Supreme. The Love Supreme Gallery begins with the survival of African indigenous musical traditions in Congo Square in New Orleans and explores their influence on a new form of music emerging from the city in the 1900s that became known as jazz, a hybrid of spirituals, ragtime, blues, and minstrelsy. Jazz eventually migrates with its musicians to urban centers in the north, and the music becomes a national phenomenon. Museum visitors can explore the transformation of jazz into various musical styles, including Dixieland, swing, bebop, cool and hard bop, fusion, etc., as well as discover those legendary jazz musicians who have contributed to the evolution of jazz's artistic growth throughout the years and into the modern 21st century.
I think this is the catchphrase for the museum. It's one nation under a groove, but this is also an exhibit as well. This is exploring the traditions that became jazz. The One Nation Under Groove Gallery documents the history and influence of rhythm and blues, or R&B, which emerged in the years following the end of World War II, a blend of gospel, jazz, and blues, spawning new musical forms such as soul, funk, disco, house, techno, and hip-hop. Rhythm and blues emerged during a time of cultural and political change when the music industry was experiencing significant growth and new technology was affecting how music was produced, specifically through the jukebox and the radio. Museum visitors will encounter the stories of Motown, Stax, and Philadelphia International Record Labels, and the emergence of music dance television programs such as Soul Train and MTV Television Channel. Both played a role in establishing black pop as a dominant commercial genre. Contemporary R&B is also chronicled in detail.
And that was One Nation Under a Groove, kind of their slogan. And one of the last galleries is called The Message, The Power Behind Hip Hop. And The Message Gallery explores the origins of both hip hop and rap in the urban decay of New York's South Bronx inner city. Museum visitors will learn about the era's minority youth culture, which incorporated DJ-driven music, breakdancing, graffiti art, and streetwear fashion into the amalgam of hip-hop. Also emphasized is the way in which technology helps drive hip-hop through the sampling, scratching, and beatbox works of its early turntablist pioneers. Hip-hop and rap stability through the 20th century and into the 21st include activist rap and the hip-hop artists whose messages speak truth to power. Museum visitors can explore these messages and how they resonate with the unempowered and disenfranchised in both the U.S. and across the globe, and that is the Message Gallery.
So these are the different exhibits throughout the museum. I think I'm most excited about the blues gallery.
I was about to say blues and jazz, I think, are going to be really cool. I'm very interested because I've loved New Orleans to see that migration of jazz across New Orleans and reaching the rest of the United States. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
I think the R&B exhibit is going to be pretty awesome as well.
All right. And we have some local music to close us out from Paul Rosewood. We're going to be playing his song Tennessee Water. And you can find his Spotify link in the show notes. We're going to be including that in there, as well as our link to the Nashville Daily Artist of the Day playlist, where we have featured all of our artists. So it's one playlist where you can find all the artists who have been played here on the podcast. A little bit about Paul, some of his favorite restaurants, Tito's Mexican.
I am looking this one up. This is in Franklin, Tennessee. And it's all the way down in Berry Farms in Franklin, Tennessee.
Oh,
and
okay.
Another one, I've never heard of this, but this place looks pretty cool, is the Viking Pizza Co. And this is a wood, like, oven-type pizza place in Spring Hill. They also have a coffee bar that's inside of this pizza shop.
Oh, that's really cool. I actually do like the combination of pizza and coffee, and so does Paul. So here is Paul Rosewood and Tennessee Water.
I drive the lines from Bowling Green down 65
to Montgomery. Left a girl back home. She wore my ring. Thought we had love. So honey sweet. I found out she'd smile and wave goodbye. Go back to living a double life. Made a fool of me for the last damn time. So when I pass that welcome sign, I'm gonna drown in the Tennessee water. Hit every dive till I'm too far under. It'll hurt but not long. Gonna cure this pain. You done me wrong. I'm going down, down, down in the Tennessee water. Well, I showed her grace, another chance. Thought she could change, love me again. But I wasn't too deep, I believed her lies. She was too far gone, like fire on ice. I'm gonna drown in the Tennessee water. Hit every dive till I'm too far under. Tennessee water.
And that was Paul Rosewood with Tennessee Water. Speaking of blues and jazz,
that's blues and jazz, right there.
Yeah, it is.
Tomorrow we're going back into 12 South. Yes, we're still in that neighborhood, and we're talking about the best murals in 12 South.
There are so many of them. How are we going to possibly narrow it down to the best? You'll find out on tomorrow's episode. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Nashville Daily. You can check us out over on Instagram at xplr.nash, as well as our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. For Nashville merch, we have you covered as well. Find that at xplr.life.
You can also text us at 615-392-1358. And for more exclusive content, head over to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. Nashville Daily is produced right here in the great city of Nashville. So if you like what we're doing, please give this podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends.